No, I was just going to say, well, Brock playing at the level that he's playing at, obviously the defense is going to have to play a lot better. By the way, did we get an injury report from Shanahan and company today? Do we know about Trent Williams playing tomorrow? George Kittle, is that official?
Just seen all of them as questionable.
Yeah, all questionable. Yeah. Okay, all right, that's fine. But no, Brock Purdy's playing at a very high level.
Trent seems way more questionable than everybody else.
Yeah, hamstring. Yeah.
I was surprised he was even, you know, semi-practicing. Yeah. Like,
yeah, 6 days, hamstring? Come on. That's why he needs the bye week.
Austin Pleasants looked pretty good at left
Austin
tackle,
Austin Pleasants,
though.
You did not. We didn't say his name once.
Yeah.
Whatever, you don't see.
I kind of can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. Now, Seattle's defense is a lot better, though, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, they should be tough. All right, so it's time now for What's Bugging You. I know this is Bonte's favorite segment. Sterling, I hope somebody told you about this.
I did. Okay,
thank God. All right, if rodents make it inside during winter, January is when they settle in. Chewed wires, droppings, and scratching sounds are signs they are already there. ATCO Pest Control handles removal and long-term prevention. Take action now at atcopestcontrol.com. Mention you heard about ATCO on What's Bugging You and get 10% off any rodent treatment this month. All right, I'll go first. It's youths on New Year's. It is youths on New Year's Eve, and I'm sorry, I've officially graduated. I know Bonte were talking about this earlier. You haven't been out as of late. There's nothing to feel bad about. This might be my last one. This might be the last time that I am out past midnight till God knows when, because some of the kids at these, you want to call them parties, open houses, the bars, it is too much, man. And if I was ever like this, to anybody out there listening to the Bay Area, if I was ever like this, where I was obnoxious, where, you know, you're spilling drinks on people, you're shouting in folks' ears, you're making it an awful environment for everybody outside and inside, I apologize. I apologize because I got a glimpse of it this last week across really the entire week, but it obviously culminated a few nights ago, and I cannot believe that there are so many youths out there between 18 to 21, but mainly the 21s, that make it absolutely unbearable to go out on New Year's Eve. So I apologize to everyone, and they're what's bugging me.
And it's expensive.
Well, that's
very
true.
Expensive.
That is.
Is there any like one particular experience, or was this just combined?
Yeah, well, it was all a little hazy, Granny. But
that felt targeted, Evan.
It was all a little hazy, but there was a couple people. Not going to say which establishment because I really liked that place, but it was not a fun bar to be at. I'll just say that.
All right.
Go ahead, Grady.
What's bugging me? Yeah. A few of those over the weekend, over the
PTSD.
Week.
PTSD.
That's for sure. What's bugging me, this isn't new. I'm sure that someone has said this on this segment before. It is the scheduled kickoff and tip-off times of college football and NBA basketball games. It's bugging me. If you're saying that a game is going to start at 7, start it at 7, not 7:12.
Oh, gosh.
And same thing.
I need that buffer, though. I know I'll cut you off. But it's like movie times, right? Movie times say 5 p.m. I know I have a 20-minute buffer,
yeah,
because
tell
the
me
movie's
7:15.
Not going to start until 5:20.
Just tell me 7:15. Like, okay, this part is my fault. I woke up early yesterday, and it was tough after New Year's Eve, but I wanted to drive up to Sonoma County and watch the Oregon football game with my dad, because I like watching big games with my dad, right? So I drive up hour and a half to Sonoma County, to Windsor, where I grew up. I'm a duck, so we go up and we watch the game. It starts at 9. I'm like, man, I got to get up early to get up in time. And I show up like at 9, raced through, got home at 9, only to realize the game doesn't kick off till 9:20. Like, and I know it's not that big of a deal, but I could have saved 20 minutes. I could have slept for 20 minutes longer, didn't have to wake up. Just if the game is going to start at 9, then start it at 9. If you're gonna start it at 9:20, start it. Say it's going to start at 9:20.
You guys, 50?
Just accurately tell me what time the game is going to start.
Yeah,
that's all I'm asking.
You can see Beyonce George tomorrow night at 7:12 at Chase Center.
Please.
Daddy's aura is just lingering in this room right now. Gosh, I need those buffers. It's like the movies. I know I got 20 minutes of previews. So 5 o'clock we aim for, and I'm always late anyway. Those 9 o'clock kickoffs, boom, I wake up at 9. All right, cool, I got time to brush my teeth, get a snack. 9:12, 9:15, kickoff, boom, we're good.
I know you're a big soccer fan, Bonte.
Yes.
There's something about knowing that a Premier League game is going to start right when the clock hits 10 o'clock. Right when it hits 10.
See, I hate it because I get up for those Premier League games, and it's already 7 minutes in. There was two goals scored. I'm like, what well, did
that
I miss?
Two goals in 7 minutes.
I mean, sometimes
you root for Liverpool.
Liverpool's been struggling. Yeah. What happened? I looked at Liverpool. That's who I adopted. I jumped on their bandwagon 5 years ago. They're struggling. They were in first place, and then 5 weeks later, it's like, wait, they're in 10th, 8th? What the hell is going on?
Top of the table anymore.
I think they're 4th.
All right.
What do you got, Sterling?
It's similar to Evan and Grandy, but more combined.
Oh.
It's about fireworks. Look, I don't mind you out there celebrating on New Year's Eve. You're happy.
I like those.
Rain in the New Year's. You're feeling good. But what's bugging me is fireworks at 7 p.m. Who is shooting fireworks off at 7 p.m.? I get it, midnight, a little over into 1 p.m. You're out there. Maybe you're a little buzz. Be safe. But like 7 p.m., what are you celebrating? It's still 2025. The year isn't over yet. You're out there just popping bottles at 7 p.m. What are we doing? So I have a dog. He's getting riled up. I'm trying to give him some Benadryl, calm him down, a little bit of sleep. But it ain't working. It's like I need a buffer like Bonte needs, but you got 5 more hours until midnight. Let's calm things down. That's bugging me. Fireworks before the New Year even starts just yet.
You got to come to the mission, man. There's fireworks from 7 p.m. on the 28th till probably later on tonight.
Well, the problem with the mission
is fireworks every day, every day of the year.
Well, I mean real fireworks. I'm not talking about the other fireworks. I'm not talking about the other fireworks.
The
legal ones.
The life of the mission. What's bugging me is all these people complaining about the college football playoff. Especially sports media, sports fans. Oh, why do we have this team in? Oh, why do we have them at these bowl games? Oh, why? Shut up. The college football playoff is awesome. You know how long Bonte Hill's been waiting for the CFP? I'm talking about Florida State, Miami, Notre Dame. There was one year Notre Dame beat Florida State in South Bend. And Notre Dame got robbed and had to go to the Cotton Bowl. And Florida State got to play for the championship. It didn't make any sense. We've been begging for playoffs for years now. Do they have their flaws? Absolutely. They're going to get rectified. We'll get a 16-game playoff, first two rounds at campuses, and go on from there. But the entire concept, how fun was last night watching Georgia?
It was an amazing
in Ole Miss
game.
How fun was it watching Miami take down Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl,
awesome.
Seeing that the U is back? Even the blowout, the Rose Bowl, Indiana punking Alabama. Now, I had a problem with the start time because we didn't get the dust ending in Pasadena. Should have been a 2 o'clock kickoff where the game turns into a night game in the fourth quarter, but I'll let that slide. Stop complaining about the CFP. This is awesome for sports. It's a moneymaker, and we get more football, high-level football between blue bloods that we'll never see play in a non-conference. I love the CFP, and I'm tired of it. That's what's bugging me is people bitching and moaning about the college football playoff every single day. It is awesome, and it's here to stay.
Well, here's one more then. Tulane should be banned from the college football playoff.
That was one
of the worst showings I have ever seen from a football team.
Shut up, supposedly a top ten.
No, you shut up, Steiny. Tulane and Green Wave should be banished from the college football playoff for a decade for barely even showing up. You got in as the second small team, and you did what with it? Summerall decided to coach the games to do what? To get absolutely dogged by Ole Miss? No, I'm sorry. Miss me with that. So that's my last thing about the college football playoff. Green Wave, lay down.
JMU scored 35 more points than Texas Tech did against the Oregon defense.
They did backdoor cover that spread too, right? But also, we got to fix one of the biggest flaws. What's bugging me, though, about the college football? We can't have these teams take 25 days off. That's a lot. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Holidays.
Really quickly, though, this Final Four for college football, amazing. Oh. You're going to have out of the Final Four teams left, the most recent champion is 2001. You're getting fresh blood.
Fresh blood.
Awesome.
You know that Fiesta Bowl is on a Thursday. The Warriors don't play. Miami, Ole Miss.
You making a trip?
No, probably not.
He's got Utah. He's got to prepare for it. He's got to get the Utah chip.
Get the Utah chip. He's got a big stretch for the Warriors. 10 of 11 at Jason.
10 of 11.
Got to lock in.
Before you guys go, how many are they going to win of the next 11? 10 at Chase, all 11 in California. How many of these 11 are they going
to
win?
I feel like they need to go 8-3.
8 was the number that popped into my mind,
but,
which means they'll win 6.
Yeah. In my opinion, kind of has 6-5 written all over it because you don't have a lot of cupcakes during this stretch. Toronto
like
and Miami is a back-to-back. That's long athletic teams giving the Warriors issues. They need
Milwaukee
to go 8-3.
Giannis is back, right?
Yeah.
Milwaukee's in town.
Yeah, well, it could be.
Maybe knowing the NBA, he'll probably
maybe
get
Giannis
an ankle
stays,
or something.
Who knows?
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know anything.
Real quick, does Jonathan Kuminga start tonight?
I'm saying yes. Kuminga starts.
Might be his last.
Over under 22.5 points?
Whew, if he scores over 22, Evan, your post-game show is done. You don't even have to watch the
game.
I'm
doing post-game tonight.
Yeah,
he's
going to
be taking calls. Just open up the phone lines and let Cam do all the work back here.
As the hardest working guy in the station anyway. Here we go. Oh,
we'll have all the graphics of Kaminga on the post-game show on NBC when he plays 25 minutes, when he does this. It'll all be
there. And then Jimmy and Draymond come right back tomorrow for Utah.
And then he heads to the end of the bench.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, all right, so we got Grandy, we got Serling. They're coming up for Willard and Dibs on a Friday. Payday Friday, mind you. Yeah. All ahead on 95.7 The Game. Big thank you to Bonte Hill.
Happy New Year,
stepping
guys.
In
Happy
for
New
us.
Year, Sterling. Happy New Year, Grandy. Stop fighting with people on Twitter.
I'm Evan Sterling. Saying so long.
Go Green Wave.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday, happy New Year, happy day before the biggest Niner game since the Super Bowl nearly 2 years ago. It's Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. No Willard, no Dibs. They're back on Monday enjoying the holiday. It's Grandy and Sterling with you. Shout out to Evan. Shout out to Bonte for doing a great job filling in for Steiny and Goo. Always good to see those guys. But Sterling, we're with you, of course, until 6 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. We're going to talk a little bit of Warriors, maybe towards the end of the show as we get ready for Warriors Live at 6 o'clock, and I'll have that for you too, by the way. Busy day. But we got the biggest Niner game in nearly 2 years coming up tomorrow at 5 o'clock at Levi's Stadium, Sterling. The Seattle Seahawks are in town. Winner of that game wins the NFC West and is the number one seed in the NFC. And we were just talking about it during the crossover in disbelief. This is the Niners' reality right now, but the day is nearly here. And we got so much to talk about as it relates to this Niner game coming up tomorrow.
What did Jim Harbaugh used to say? Who's got it better than us? He said, nobody. I may ask you, why not us? Because the way this Niners team is playing, they may not be built for the playoffs. Their defense has a lot of holes. But the way Brock Purdy is playing certainly gets me excited to see what and how much damage this team can do. I'm pumped up, Grandy. I'm counting down the minutes, the seconds, the milliseconds to kick off. My wife is going to hate me at 5 p.m. tomorrow leading up to the end of that game because they'll be yelling, they'll be screaming, there'll be some other things happening because this game means everything to San Francisco 49er fans. Niners, Seahawks wouldn't want it any other way for the number one seed and the NFC West. That is what I'm talking about. That is classic NFL action right there, and it's going to be awesome to see tomorrow night.
Yeah, so before we get into that, I did want to set the stage. It's kind of the question I threw out to the guys about the Warriors right before we got off with the crossover. We'll get back to the Niners in just a sec. But first, though, as we do before every Warrior game, Dub Nation, let's get engaged. Before every game, vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll on the 95.7 The Game Twitter page, brought to you by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCo.com today. Okay, starting tonight, as we just said on the crossover, 10 of the Warriors' next 11 games are at home, and all 11 are in California. The opponents for the Warriors in this 11-game stretch: OKC, Utah, the Clippers, Milwaukee, Sacramento, Atlanta, Portland, the Knicks, Charlotte, Miami, and Toronto. How many of these 11 games do the Warriors need to win in order for you to consider this a successful 11-game stretch? Is it either 6 or fewer wins, 7 wins, 8 wins, or 9 or more wins? Vote now on Twitter, and we will share the results with you coming up later on during the show. Again, that is our engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll brought to you by Shane Co. Vote now on the 957 The Game Twitter page, and we'll bring up those results coming up later. Okay, Sterling, it's Niners, it's Seahawks. Niners and Seahawks played week 1 of the season way back in Seattle. That feels like four seasons ago, given everything that's happened. I mean, just look at the team the Niners fielded on that day, Sterling, and look at the team they're fielding now, specifically on defense. You felt 10 times more confident about that defense than you do about this defense. And oh, by the way, we had major questions about that defense, just not at a certain linebacker spot and a certain pass rusher spot. Now you have questions basically everywhere other than maybe one corner spot. Yet, you're still somehow, I mean,
even then,
you're not 100% sold. Yet, this is a Niner team that's just, as Bonte said just a handful of minutes ago, 60 minutes away from the one seed in the NFC. And this is kind of this rivalry renewed once again. It's, you know, maybe the best offensive mind in football versus maybe the best defensive mind in football. Certainly maybe the best defensive-minded head coach. You might say Steve Spagnuolo of the Chiefs, maybe the best defensive mind. There's a couple of others that you can throw out there as well, and he's a DC, not a head coach. But you have so many matchups. You have Darnold's history with the Niners. You have, of course, the old Niners-Seahawks rivalry. I say old, as in like a decade ago when Pete Carroll was their head coach. You have so many storylines, but the biggest one is just win and you're the one seed. And there is, it's rarely that there is a regular season game, Sterling, with more on the line than tomorrow night at Levi's.
If only it was that simple. Win and you're in, Mark. If only that was exactly what San Francisco had to do. And you can just say it and it would come to fruition. But this game is going to be a battle of, maybe not juggernauts, but a battle of two teams that hate each other. There's rich history there. You laid it out for us already. But on top of that, these two teams, like, this can be the difference in whether it's hosting a football game in the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl. Whoever wins this game, I can easily hear someone say, may go to the Super Bowl. So I know it isn't the end-all, be-all for the season. Again, you still have playoff games to play and whatnot. Anything can happen, as the NFL shows us every single season. But this game is basically not a Super Bowl, but it's a playoff game for sure.
I mean, you win and this game, you win a playoff game because you get the bye.
Yeah. Yeah. You were 100% right.
Yeah.
This is a game where, you know, you ride in a week off for Trent Williams and George Kittle, yep, who has, you know, some hamstring injuries. You have Christian McCaffrey with the back stuff and even Brock Purdy with a toe. Like, this bye week could, like, imagine San Francisco getting two bye weeks in 2 months. That's what this means for a team like this that's older, but also younger to help prepare whoever they're playing for in a couple weeks' time. So, again, it isn't everything, but it certainly could be the beginning of everything for this team going forward. And you cannot understate the importance of winning this game. If you win, again, your trip to the Super Bowl is a lot easier. And if you lose, it could be on the line as quickly as 2 weeks from now.
One thing we were talking about during the crossover, and I think it was a great point that Evan brought up, was the way that McCaffrey maybe has evolved as a player. But in the back of my mind, what I'm thinking as well is, what I think partially explains what he's been doing lately is that bye week late in the season and how it feels like he's kind of been revitalized. And of course, that's going to help an older running back. It's going to help every player, but specifically an older running back. That also, I'm sure, helped Trent Williams. It helped George Kittle. It helped Kyle Juszczyk. It helped all these veteran players that have a lot of miles on their body. Just imagine what another bye week would do this late in the season. And you could even forget like the part of advancing a game in the postseason, even if this just was like Niners win and via that, like the whole playoff picture gets pushed back a week and you didn't advance through the playoffs. Like, you didn't actually get a bye. You just had a week off before the postseason began and you were still going to have to win three games just to get to the Super Bowl. Like, even that would be valuable. Of course, advancing into another round is valuable in and of itself, but there's few teams out there, Sterling, that you would think would benefit more from a bye week than this Niner team, considering the load that's been on McCaffrey, considering Kittle is trying to work his way back from an injury, considering that Trent Williams likely not going to play tomorrow. You give them another week off, like you might be getting the best version of the Niners all season, beginning when they first play in a postseason game. And that is one of the common threads of Super Bowl champions, is you play your best in January, and the Niners are certainly like leaning in that direction because their offense surely has never been this good. We got major questions about the defense, but they're definitely playing better than they have the rest of the season. They haven't lost since Brock Purdy returned, Sterling.
We'll take it a step further. The last two times San Francisco has gone to a Super Bowl, they were the number one seed. The bye week helps immensely, whether it is that 2019 team that was still young and upcoming and kind of coming into their own, or even 2023 where they were just rock stars all over the place and they got banged up in that game against KC. But still, that bye week matters so much. It not only takes pressure off the guys, especially younger guys, that you know you're playing back-to-back games and you know, you're playing tough games. And when you go through a stretch of playing the Bears and the Seahawks and you know, those are two big playoff games you have to win if you want to get the number one seed. Taking that pressure off almost allows you to have a mental reset of, okay, where's my body at? How do I feel? And it also gives Robert Saleh and the coaching staff time to kind of, you know, tighten the hinges and say, let's get back after it. You know, whoever we're playing, whether it's Carolina or Green Bay or whoever it may be in you know, 1 to 2 weeks' time. Like, it just allows a reset. And I don't know about you, Mark. I need a holiday reset, and San Francisco may need one too if they can get this win tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm a little sluggish recovering from the holiday, and I don't go out every week and let 250 pound dudes like dive into me head first. So I can only imagine. I can only imagine how these football players must feel around the holidays, Sterling. But yeah,
I couldn't imagine Mark Grandy walking outside, no helmet, no pads, and just letting 250 pounds dude just tackle up on the streets of San Francisco and saying, "Okay, I'll see you on Monday morning."
I mean, that might happen in San Francisco every once in a while. I mean, you never know what happens.
It's a lively city.
It is. You could find that if you wanted. I'll put it that way, Sterling. But there's no doubt that this is an incredibly valuable game coming up tomorrow for the 49ers and for the Seahawks. I mean, Seahawks are either the 1 or the 5. They're locked in to those two spots. Niners could fall all the way to the 6. And we're going to lay out like all the scenarios, Sterling, later on in the show, just to get a sense of how valuable this game is tomorrow. Because I know you're in the playoffs. This is not, for example, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, which will close the day Sunday. This is not that. Win, and you're in the playoffs. Lose, and you're not, which is, you know, by definition, basically a playoff game. You win that game, you're alive. You lose that game, your season is over. This is not that, because both teams will have at least one more game, even if they lose tomorrow. But just to look at what how the path might change, Sterling, based on tomorrow's result, if you win, you're the one seed. You have two home games in order to advance to the Super Bowl. Now, those two games are not going to be easy. It's very possible those two games are Rams and Seahawks. Like, it's possible it could be that. It could be Rams and Eagles. It could be Seahawks and Eagles. Like, there's a lot of ways that it can play out, and likely those two games that you would play at home are going to be very tough. But let's say you lose tomorrow. There is a relatively likely scenario where your three playoff games, should you keep winning in the NFC, are in Philadelphia, in LA versus the Rams, and in Seattle versus the Seahawks. I cannot think of a more tougher gauntlet of three games to get through in the NFC than that. So I know they're in the postseason, and I know for so many of us, like middle of the season, we just asked, make the postseason. I will call that a success. And I think, you know, I'm still on that train, but you got to win tomorrow. Otherwise, I find it very difficult. You're going to be able to make it out of the NFC with that potential gauntlet staring you down.
Well, just think of the last time San Francisco wasn't the number one seed in the playoffs. I think it was, 2021? 2022?
The Rams NFC Championship game year.
Yes, yeah. On the road in Dallas, on the road in Green Bay, in the snow, won that game because you know, the Packers offense couldn't do anything, and a Jordan Willis blocked punt led to a Talanoa Hufanga touchdown.
Hufanga!
and then you had the game against the Rams with San Francisco. Probably should have won, but for a lot of reasons couldn't get it done. Like, it's a tough task to ask any team, let alone a team that maybe is considered one of the best in the conference, to go on the road and play an opposition. The more hits you take, your longevity goes down, your health goes down. And I don't know about you, I would prefer if my stars take less snaps leading into a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Just simply because you've seen this team get to the pinnacle and fall short because of a lot of injuries catching up to them. So, you know, San Francisco's had to ride that lightning basically the whole year of, we're one game away from not going to this and not going to that. We're one game away from clinching this and clinching that. And, you know, I can't think of a better way to end the year or a more fitting way to end their season of, rather the number one seed, or you're 5 or 6. And you can really say, you know, being 5 or 6 seed, while not catastrophic, you know, that may feel catastrophic to the fans or to us of like, you had it right there in your grasp and you couldn't win one more game. And you ask this Niners team to go on the road and play three games, probably isn't the best best case for success with how bad this defense has been the most of the season.
Yeah, yes. Thank you, Pasta. Yeah, that would be very, very difficult. We're going to give you all like the potential paths and what to root for. We're going to give you your Niner fan rooting guide for Week 18. We'll do that later on because there are a lot of moving pieces. So if you're kind of unsure of how the certain team winning and losing changes the puzzle pieces around, stay tuned. We will get to that before we get on out of here today at 6 o'clock. But we're talking a lot of Niners, so if you want to get in on the conversation, you can do so by calling 888-957-9570. That is also the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Plenty more to get into. Let's dive into this matchup specifically versus the Seahawks. I think there are a couple of areas where the Niners have a major advantage over Seattle, and one of them, I don't know, maybe it's going to surprise you. We'll get to that, plus a whole lot more. It's Willard and Dibbs, Sterling and Grandy in on the 2nd of January 2026. Tomorrow is the biggest game of the year, and you know the place to be to watch and hang. That's with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings at Laughing Monk Brewing, right down the street from the stadium. And, of course, if you're going to the game, there's a free shuttle back and forth, and all you have to do is sign up at 957thegame.com. Better do it quickly because seats on the shuttle are going fast. That's 957thegame.com. And we're sponsored by the California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. More Willard and Dibbs next on 957 The Game.